Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, January 27th, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 15, that first paragraph. My wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm through one paragraph ending, it is a design for living that works in rough going. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Kate F., 12 Traditions, Mary P., readers of the text, Penny L.C., Alex K. will be reading page 164, and she will also be doing our backup reader today. The reference number for Monday, January 26, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,158. That's 23158. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 27, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,160. That's 23160. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Sherry M., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Kate F. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Kate F., compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Kate F. And I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 15, that first paragraph. My wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm through one paragraph ending, it is a design for living that works in rough going. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Penny L.C. to please read and then share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. My wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. It was fortunate, for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, and during which time I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly uplifted and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. And my reflection would be in this prior paragraph that we read yesterday, Bill had just gotten very clear on how much the 12-step instructions hold a major key to sobriety. He comes now to understand for him to be able to continue to abstain from the grip of alcohol, it is critical that he passes on the solution. that has been passed to him. And he then sets out on his mission and proves to himself how much he is uplifted when he serves to uplift another addict. He is convinced by the benefits he has received that following the 12 steps is truly a design for living. They are results that produce a comprehensive changing of one's thoughts, words, and actions. By working with others, he is transformed and knows the same is available to any addict willing to do the work. He is, however, still out of work and struggling with some of his character deficits centered in self. It is clear that he only has a one day at a time remedy for his pain and misery. The answer is to stay grounded in being of service. My experiencing does follow Bill's example. When I am stuck in self and overcome with disturbance, the best thing for me to do is reach out. When I'm able to help a sponsee or a fellow struggling, I am reminded of the gift of my abstinence and all of my amazing blessings thanks to recovery. At that point, I am able to rebalance and to regain my alignment with my higher power. The miracle of recovery becomes real. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Alex K.
Chanel T.
Alex K. Chanel T.
Chanel T.
Luann C.
Thank you.
Luann C. Bruce E. Anyone else? Okay, let's start with that lineup. Alex K., your 3 minutes starts now.
Thank you, Dawn. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. When I feel low, nothing helps me like a call with a fellow compulsive eater, especially a newcomer or a sponsee. In the past, when I felt down, I'd isolate, withdraw, not talk to anybody, cancel my commitments. And once in a while, I still feel like doing that for a moment, but then I remember what I know will help. I've had a lot of experience of reaching out even when I don't feel like it, or especially when I don't feel like it, and receiving such an uplift that changes my attitude entirely to be much more positive. I'm so grateful I have the willingness to reach out, to turn my attention to someone I might help. And it works every time. It's like magic. And, of course, I receive much more than I give. And there's nothing like it, no better feeling than connecting with a fellow, getting out of myself, being reminded I'm not alone, being of service, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And with newcomers and sponsees, I get to share some of my story, which reminds me of what it was like and what it's like now, and see the contrast. It's like night and day. My life is so much better now because of this program and my higher power. And sharing that gives me a lot of gratitude. So now when I'm feeling down, I know the remedy. Call a newcomer or someone who's struggling. Offer support. It's a simple solution. And it's an important part of fulfilling my purpose, my higher power's will for me to help other compulsive eaters. I never had that sense of purpose before. Now I've been given a sense of purpose in my life. It really is a design for living that works in rough going. In every situation, this program, the steps, my higher power, are the answer to any problem I have. I don't have to figure out different solutions to different problems. I don't have to figure anything out. my solution is always right here, and I know that there's nothing we can't go through together, and that's so comforting and so different from how I lived my life before, where everything seemed like a catastrophe and I was really easily knocked off balance. And now I have this my spiritual team with me and more equanimity most of the time, and I can say life on life's terms and have gratitude and stay connected with my solution and do the next right thing. Meet calamity with serenity, or meet life with serenity, because there really aren't any calamities now with my higher power. There are no big deals.
Time.
All is well, always. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Alex K. Chanel T., it's your turn to share, followed by Luann C.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your faithful service. Hi, I'm Chanel T. in Washington State. Today, I'm a grateful and recovered, not cured, compulsive eater, and that's all by the grace of my higher power. Yeah, you know, it's different from a diet program. This program is different from something that just focuses on the food. I do need to have those foods down. I couldn't be sober, quote unquote. I can't get my sanity back from God if I ever had it be restored without this. But this is where the rubber hits the road, and this is what makes it so different, is it becomes a life of service. It becomes a life of serving others no matter how I'm feeling. In fact, yesterday I was a bit under the weather. I was in bed a lot of the day, and so doing my program by phone. And it was great. I was able to be on a meeting. I was able to do some service. I was able to talk with a newcomer or two. I was able to work with a sponsee, and I was able to do outreach, talk with a friend, and it does work in rough going. I don't have to run a halfway house, which is essentially what it looks like he and his wife did, he and Lois. Thank God for Lois for so many reasons. I don't have to go to that extreme. I can help others over the phone. I can help others in person as well, but I don't necessarily have to all the time. There's people in this program for reasons due to health are immobile, and they're able to help others. No matter how far down the scale of life I've gone, I can be of use today in a way that I never was before, and it helps me. Whatever I'm giving, I don't understand God's math, but I get more. I get more. And so even if I were purely selfish, and I am a selfish person, self-centered a lot of the time, I can be navel-gazing with the best of them. But yeah, even then, giving sincerely what was given to me, just sharing, just reading out of the book together, even that is a powerful reminder of what I've been given, this gift of a lot more than weight loss or weight restoration, depending on what someone needs. A lot more than food neutrality, although that is a beautiful thing. I do love that too. But a new way of living, a life that works in rough going. Thank you so much. I'm forever grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Chanel T. from Washington. Luann C., it's your turn to share, followed by Bruce E.
Hey, good morning, Don, and good morning, my friends. I'm Luann C. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho, and I really appreciated the last three shares. You know, I'm just really appreciating these two paragraphs we just read because, you know, by this time of the writing of the book, Bill had some significant sobriety under his belt. You know, this AA thing was taking off. He could have been really arrogant here, but instead he feels like a big brother looking out for us. You know, he's gone into the world, taken this recovery on the road, and he's coming back to tell us what it looks like and how to look out for what's up ahead. And I'm so grateful for these signposts he's giving us here. I still feel like I'm in the early recovery of taking back my life. I'm still learning how to navigate life without this crutch. I'm learning how to walk for the first time, and I feel like this paragraph really calls for some patience with myself. You know, my disease wants to shame me for not walking on water, but Bill tells me flat out, no, there are going to be some low spots ahead, and this buoys my spirit. You know, when I found myself in self-pity the last couple of days, I didn't have to drown in it. Because of recovery, I could recognize it and name it and remember that in this book we're given the way out. And because the food is down, I want the way out. Before, self-pity went so well with a big piece of pie. But today I've tasted freedom, and I take the rope Bill's offering here, and I climb out by working with another person or calling or writing a 10th step. And then I'm back on my feet, and I can get back to living a real life, this life that I've been given. Oh, I'm so grateful for the intercession in Bill and Lois's life. Yeah, shout out to Lois. Without Lois, there's no Bill, so God bless her. And basically, I'm just living this rolling miracle. You know, Lois, speaking again of her, she said this thing. She said, we can play a large part in saving a troubled world from itself. And I think, wow, that's a mouthful. But those words remind me of my purpose and encourage me to go forward. And because now I'm on the path that really goes somewhere. So I'm just so grateful. And thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 15 today in the AA Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, Bill's story. The first paragraph there, starting with, my wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm through one paragraph ending, it is a design for living that works in rough going. Bruce E., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thanks, moderator. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, this is Bruce E. I'm recovering in Southwest Florida. And I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. So I probably had waves of that in the beginning. I've been in this program like 35 years, so different times when I got abstinent, probably got plagued by it. Seems to come in more when I'm after I get done compulsively overeating, and then it plagues me. But now it still does come up. It's not waves of self-pity and resentment. It's just little pieces of it here and there. And I have to do a 10th step when it comes up. I'm getting better at recognizing it. And I can't figure out God. I kind of gave up that. I gave up blaming God, and I gave up trying to figure out God. I think I have. And mainly now I'm trying to figure out myself. That's a harder chore than trying to figure out God. But when this self-pity and resentment and fear and anger and all that come up, it can easily drive me back to food. But I'm not going there. I go to a 10th step, you know, I go to prayer. Mostly I go to 10 steps. And, prayer quite a bit. Working with another alcoholic really helps too. And it's a design for living that works rough. So it's a new way. It's a new way of life, you know. So I'm in here in my little den here, office, and I eat breakfast in here, and my little puppy gets up on the couch with me, and I ate about half my breakfast, and I guess it's around half, I'm not sure how much is there, but when I came back in, man, that bowl was about empty, you know, and I said, no, Chip. And he starts walking over real low and cowering in the corner. I felt bad for him then. But, you know, my first thought was, you know, go in and now what are you, you know, how are you going to make up for what you lost there, you know? And I would have at one point just got a whole new bowl of it, you know, but I thought it probably crossed my mind. I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. You know, I didn't try to find a substitute for the rest of the bowl because I wasn't even sure how much anyway. But so it's a new design for living. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Ted from New Jersey. Paul
R.
Was that Ted from New Jersey?
Yes, ma'am.
Paul R.
And Paul R.
Kate F. Janice K.
Jess A.
Kathy D, if I have time.
Kathy D. And who is the gentleman before Kathy D?
Jeff A. California.
Okay.
Excuse me, you tell me what page we are on?
I'd be happy to do that. We are on page 15, that first paragraph, starting with my wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm through one paragraph ending. It is a design for living that works in rough going. All right. Well, Ted, please go ahead, get us started, followed by Paul R.
Thank you. My name is Ted. I'm a compulsive eater and binger from New Jersey. I can kind of tell when I need to do a 12-step call, because I get this kind of a dry irritability, dry drunk kind of thing, and I know I need to slow down and help others. It's just a lot of what I got out of the reading was, of course, passing on the message, you know, and I can't keep anybody sober, but I certainly can be a channel of God, you know. And so I also could relate to Bill when he was, people had, doubted him, you know, and all that. Because so many years, my family and friends see me really obese. And now I've lost all, I'm almost at the body weight I was in high school. And so, you know, it's just like, it shocked a lot of people. And I'm also getting used to being in my, not so big and heavy, because and adjusting to that, that fat protected me when I was out there, you know. I made me feel strong, and now I'm like, I'm still strong, but it's just getting used to being in a thinner body. And Bill didn't do it alone, you know. He had support. I know Lois there was supportive, and I know that we don't do it alone, you know. So it's a WE program. And even though that'd be at help others, and I think I'll wrap that up right there, and I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, thank you so much, Ted from New Jersey. Paul R., it's your turn, followed by Kate F.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. this is just the best meeting in town, not in town, but in the world. I just love this meeting, and I used to listen only, and I was just so afraid to to speak up, to be seen, the encouragement that I got, and the support, and the guidance I got from this line, and from this program, it's just, you know, like, this is just really. It's really like I got to be who I really supposed to be, and I got to you know, repair all these damages throughout these 12 steps, and working with other people would save the day. You know, like this is like the period of my recovery when like it's just a no matter what. I make those phone calls no matter what, and not because of no matter what. I actually want to make the call. I'm actually interested in others, interested in how you're doing, because it's just, I think it's just, it's a natural thing. Like, you know, I'm the phrase of my recovery, and I would love to feel good. I would love to be okay throughout your day. And, you know, that recovery is just it's the most beautiful things in the world, I think, like we can do and I can do, you know, that step 10 promises when we are just fighting everything and everyone. And, you know, like when somebody's saying thank you, you know, it was just meant a lot when you called me. That's a highlight of my day. And that's just an unexpected thing. It's come unexpected. And I just feel like the feeling is just undescribable. And it's also undescribable when someone, like when I call someone and it's being helpful, super, super, super helpful someone and help me to see it from a different perspective, not from my perception of reality, which is wrong, but actually like from a right perception. And from like, I think it's like, it's, you know, this program is, you know, I wasn't making phone calls before. I was just like, you know, half-assing it and white knuckling it. But, you know, like actually, you know, I know it, on the beginning, like, you know, I needed to do contrary action. But once I step out that I'm actually genuinely interested in others, like it's like, you know, working with others. It goes, you know, like someone who has less time, it doesn't have to be. It's nowhere says it's sponsorship. It's just working with others. I don't have to sponsor anyone, but I can call and make a call and check in with anyone. Thanks for letting me to share. I will pass.
Thank you so much, Paul R. from California. Kate F., it's your turn, followed by Janice K.
Thank you, Don. This is Kate F., recovered compulsive eater from Washington State. I love how this paragraph is bookended. So the very first part, we hear about service, and the very last few sentences, we hear about services. And in between, life happens. And not so long ago, just a few pages ago, Bill found himself in the same circumstances, unemployed, skeptical coworkers, feeling ill physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And yet, here we are on page 15. What's happened? God's solution has happened. His attitude has changed. His deep desire to share the solution has changed. So for me, the directions tell me today, when I read my On Awakening prayer this morning, when I think about my plans ahead, am I thinking about how I'm going to be not only providing service, but what am I bringing to that service? Am I bringing enthusiasm and authenticity and kindness and love? And am I open to all the ways service is going to make itself available for me so that I can respond? Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kate F. from Washington. Janice K., it's your turn, followed by Jeff A.
Thank you so much. The sentences that caught me were, it was fortunate for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. And why it struck me, the negativism of it, was that so much of the time, it seems like there's, for some people, there's a light switch effect. They come in, they have the awakening, bam, they get catapulted. But even once you are catapulted into the new reality, there's some work to be done. And occasionally there are waves of reality. The new way of living is very, very true. You do learn it. It takes a lot of time. I took actions until they became habits. And when they became habits, it worked its way into a way of living. But it takes time to learn that and to be willing to live a spiritually active life. It is a new way of living. Being helpful. Oh, before I could be helpful, I had to learn the difference between being genuinely of service and being the codependent servant. Boy, that one took years. Codependence still loves to come to call. I found myself in a state of reality recently, and I got sick, and it was terrible. And I found myself dealing with self-pity. We are cautioned to look for selfishness, resentment, dishonesty, and fear. And do you know, when I hit self-pity, I had all four of them going at once. I was selfish because I saw me. Nobody was ever that sick except me. I was dishonest because that's not reality. Reality is not centered on me. I was resentful. Somebody gave me that terrible germ, and it was not my fault. And everything was going at once. And self-pity is not a thing to be, it's a thing to be avoided at all costs. But when it happens, it needs to be realized and dealt with, because that alone will kick me out of my serenity. And so I get my new way of living back. I think I caught on to that in 2 days instead of 20 years. It's quite an improvement. So keep coming back. It works if we work it. Thank you so much for listening, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Jeff A., it's your turn to share, followed by Kathy D.
Hi, this is Jeff A. in Pacific Time. What happened with me is my wife was doing all the cooking, which was fine, until I went to OA. And then she does a lot of foods that are alcoholic for me. And I didn't know what to do. And in the program, you know, you're not supposed to do your alcoholic foods. And I love those. It just took me a lot of time. My sponsor said, you're not going to eat this, this, or that. And she was pissed, right? And it's been a challenge. For me, though, what I've found over time is that I want someone else to handle my life so I don't have to. But with emotional sobriety, it's you, it's me. What am I going to do? And the program's been helped me tremendously see my part. And sometimes my part is I am an ass and I need to make amends. And at other times, other people want me to do certain things that are not helpful to me in the program. And so I need to find a way. This baffling disease, it gets really confusing for me at times. And so I'm glad I have a sponsor and I have people in the program and I do bookends a lot. Anything really emotional, I bookend. And then I go through the experience, and then I text back. And if I'm having trouble, I actually get up and go and call somebody in the middle of it, because my sobriety and my recovery is more important than, well, than them, even my wife. Because if I don't have the sobriety and the recovery, I have a disease, a terrible disease, and I have to do the rigorous honesty and the rigorous, you know, it's just, it works for me. But it has been a big difficult for her, but she's now willing to be more willing. And I end up doing dinner. I do three times a week.
Time.
For myself. Anyways, okay, thanks.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. from California. Kathy D., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take another name. Star one, Kathy. Okay, perhaps she had to step away. We're talking about page 15, that first paragraph. My wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm through one paragraph ending. It is a design for living that works in rough going. Is that Kathy on the...
Hello.
On the... Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I had trouble.
Go ahead, Kathy D. Please share with us. Let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you so much. Okay. I'm from Louisiana, and I'm Kathy D., and I've been struggling by eating the right foods. You know, I work with others a lot, and just recently I decided to get back with OA and really try to apply myself to the program. It works for others. It should work for me, and I just have to figure out what's really, or have God reveal to me, what's really blocking me that I don't feel like I'm being abstinent like I need to be. Number one, I don't weigh and measure. Number two, I don't report it to a sponsor. So those are some of the things I have to get back to doing that has worked in the past. And basically, that's all I wanted to report this morning, just to kind of check in with you guys. Thank you all for being here, and I'll mute.
Thank you so much, Kathy D. from Louisiana. We do value your experience, but please limit your share to every third day. Is there someone who hasn't shared in the last couple days that would like to share in this paragraph? Press star one.
Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania.
DL from Indiana.
Okay. All right. We'll stop there. Mary Frances, go ahead, followed by DL, and I believe that's all we'll have time for. So please come back tomorrow if we don't have time for your share. But Mary Frances, please share with us and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Good morning. This is Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania, and I'm in recovery today by the grace of God. And I, like someone else shared earlier, am so very grateful for this meeting. It is giving me exactly what I need to help me in my recovery. Yesterday's paragraph really hit me hard, and it was like a warning to me yesterday, like, this is life or death. I can't mess around anymore. Like, I find myself throughout the day wasting time that I could be spending on my recovery. And I get distracted easily. So yesterday, I found a printable habit tracker online and printed it off. And I'm praying that this will help me be aware of where it is that I'm spending my time and get out of some bad habits and create new ones. But today, you know, I've been so blessed since I came to this meeting with the people that I have been able to connect with through outreach. And I'm not in a position to be a sponsor, but I can be of service by making outreach calls. And it's just been a miracle. Like they say sometimes the phone is 1,000 pounds, and that's how I always treated it. But I was strongly encouraged to make outreach calls to people and have done that and have made what I believe are genuine friends who really encourage and support me in this process, because they want to keep it for themselves, but they also want to pass it on to others. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. DL, it's your turn to share.
Hi, this is DL, and I'm so excited to be able to share on this paragraph because I could really relate to what Bill said there. He was plagued by ways of self-pity. The snow and everything has kept me pretty isolated, and I was really feeling sorry for myself, and I asked my higher power to, you know, guide me. I got that built-in forgetter, and then everybody was talking, and it said, I soon found, and sometimes nearly drove me to drink, but I soon found that when I, all other measures fail, working with another alcoholic saves the day. So if I do service, I've already feel uplifted. So thanks for everyone for all their great shares and for everyone that does service, because you are helping people like me that have that built-in forgetter. Though we've got years in 12-stepping, but you do need reminders, really daily reminders. So thank you, everyone, for letting me share. And this is DL from Indiana.
Wonderful. DL from Indiana, thank you so much for sharing with us. And we have time for a one-minute share. Is there someone that wanted to take that? Who was that other name that I missed at the end after DL?
I'll take it. Susan Trajan. I'm T from New Jersey.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. So I'm Sue. I'm in recovery for 40 years. The one thing that really struck me about this paragraph was the word abandoned. They abandoned. It's a whole different, it's like they abandoned themselves. And I look at the word abandoned, and it said like to completely give up yourself, right? And to me, that's so important in my life, that I don't just choose like how God wants me to do the 12-step call. I ask him, God, what meetings do you want me to be at? Like, where can I be of service to you? Even if I think the meeting is so boring, if he wants me there, then that's where I go, right? So, because we could still be running the show on self-will when it comes to 12-step. Like, I'll do this. I'm not saying not use your brain, but I'm saying also to meditate and say, God, where can I be of service
time
to you? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sue, and sorry we didn't have more time for your share. And thank you to everyone. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alex K. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thanks, Dawn. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him, to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.